Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. This week promises a showdown in the House of Commons as the government's EU withdrawal bill faces several key votes which could decisively impact the future of Brexit. These include potentially keeping the UK in the EU's customs union and the obligation to give Parliament a meaningful say on the final Brexit deal. Shadow Brexit Secretary Sir Keir Starmer joined Andrew Marr to discuss Labour's approach to the bill. Marr pointed out that Labour was not seizing the opportunity to keep the UK in either the single market or the European Economic Area.
You've let her off the hook, basically, haven't you?
No, we've pushed the Prime Minister all the way on the really big issues. And the two most important for this week are the customs union and a meaningful vote. And I urge Tory MPs who care about this to vote for those amendments. If Tory MPs who do care about those amendments vote with us, there is a real chance for Parliament to change the course of the Brexit negotiations and to bring some order where there's real chaos.
Okay.
Because on this question of a customs union, we've gone backwards and forwards for months on end. The government's no further forward.
Well, you had a chance to bring the government down and you've skipped it.
Well, Andrew, two answers to that. The first is, as I think you and others know very well, there are a number of Labour MPs who are very concerned about the EEA who will not vote for it, and therefore we can't pretend this is winnable vote. But let me answer more. More substantially, because this is a really important issue. We have laid the same amendment to the customs bill and the trade bill, which are now supposedly coming back before the summer, so in the next 3-4 weeks. And they are different bills where we can have a substantive vote and where Tory rebels who care about the single market can lay down their own amendments and we can vote on it then. So the idea that this Tuesday or this Wednesday is the last chance saloon on a single market deal is misconceived. There will be another chance with those bills. I hope we get significant victories this week on the things that matter, which is the meaningful vote, the customs union.
Won't.
Well, that will be the test. And I do urge Tory MPs who care about this, I know it's difficult, to back those amendments. We will back those amendments. And if that happens, that will be a defining change this week. And it could happen if those Tory MPs vote with us. And I urge them to do so.
Despite Starmer's encouragement to sympathetic Conservatives, Housing Minister Dominic Raab has spoken to Sarah Smith on how he believes the week ahead will pan out for the government.
How worried are the government about losing any of these votes?
Well, I think we need to take very seriously all the different views, but I think we're reasonably confident. I was involved steering the withdrawal bill through at the Commons stage and we won 57 out of 58 votes, and I'm reasonably confident that we'll get the legislation through. And of course, let's remember why it's important, because whether you voted Leave or Remain, we all want to avoid the legal cliff edge when we leave the EU, and we all want to accept that we need to take back control of our laws. And those are the two strategic things this bill does, and I think we should all be able to unite behind that.
Now, Amber Rudd and Ian Duncan Smith, in their joint article this morning, are trying to be helpful, urging their colleagues to vote with the government. But they also heavily imply that a government defeat could actually risk either Theresa May's premiership or the government's safety itself. Raising the stakes that high and saying the government's in genuine peril, is that helpful?
Well, look, I think what it shows is you've got two former cabinet ministers on polar opposite sides of the EU campaign when we had the referendum, uniting and showing that the Conservative Party, and indeed the country, needs to be bigger than the sum of its parts.
But are they right when they say that if the government loses, that it could fall?
I think people thinking about voting against the government this week need to think very seriously about it. But the most important thing is that we get that legislation through, because it avoids the legal cliff edge. It makes sure that we have a smooth legal transition in relation to Brexit, and it sends the Prime Minister into the June Council with the wind in her sails, rather than perhaps delaying the domestic process.
But this is just kicking the can down the road, isn't it? Because what we're hearing quite clearly is, even if you are able to keep some of your potential Remain rebels on side this week, when it comes to the amendment on the trade and customs bills, which are going to be debated before recess probably next month, you've got every chance of losing then.
Well, we had votes on the customs union and the single market before at the common stage that I described to you. We won all of them. But I don't think this is kicking the can down the road. Getting this legislation through will be a key turning point, I think, in the Brexit process, because we'll have the laws in place to make sure we can have that smooth transition. But we do need to make further progress in the talks, and that's what the June Council will do, particularly on those key trade talks.
After a standoff on Thursday between Theresa May and David Davis, the Prime Minister agreed to an official time limit to the UK's so-called backstop arrangements, which are limited to prevent a hard border with the Republic of Ireland if the UK exits the EU with no deal. However, the Cabinet Office Minister David Lidington suggested that the backstop might not keep to the agreed cut-off date of December 2021.
I'm slightly confused about the language the government has used about this backstop now. I read it out. The UK expects the future arrangement to be in place by the end of December 2021 at the latest. What does the word expects mean?
Exactly what it says.
It might not happen.
If you look at what's going to have to happen, we know that in the autumn of this year, we're going to need to get agreement on the text of the withdrawal agreement, which includes the backstop arrangement,
yes,
fallback for Ireland.
Hope that it'll be over by 2021.
Alongside that, Andrew, the House of Commons and the European Parliament are both very clear they will need clarity about what it is we are transitioning to at the end of the implementation period. So that will be part of the consideration of both parliaments about what we do. I mean, when we get to end of the implementation period, we think then, if we need the backstop, we hope we won't, that we'll be able to switch to the new arrangements seamlessly. But if not, it's there for a short time. And the EU itself has always said, Andrew, has always said you cannot have a permanent solution on the basis of a withdrawal agreement.
It's just its delightfully, waffly, soft kind of language. It expects, hopes. That's the kind of thing if your wife's calls you in the pub and say, what time are you going to be home? I expect to be home by 7, knowing jolly well it'll be 8 o'clock or 9. It's that kind of language.
It's being absolutely sensible and reasonable. If we get a good deal with the EU that needs ratification in national parliaments, one of them might delay. There might be an election in one country before they get round to it. You know?
Here's a very, very clear way of resolving this. Can you be absolutely sure, here and now, that by the time of the next election in 2022, we will have left the EU completely?
We will have left the EU at the end of March 2019. I mean,
there'll be no backstop, by which I mean there'll be no backstop by the time of the next election.
Certainly. I mean, I know the PM's intention, my hope, everybody is working towards getting this sorted as soon as we possibly can. We are expecting to get the withdrawal agreement sorted this autumn and to have agreed a very ambitious new economic and security partnership with the EU that it's in their interest as well as ours to put in place as rapidly as possible.
In other news, Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon joined Sophie Ridge to talk about the next steps of Scottish independence. Despite a report from the SNP's Growth Commission which warned of several challenges ahead, Sturgeon remained optimistic.
Can you say for definite, one way or the other, that there will or will not be a second referendum while you're First Minister?
I think there will be. I think Scotland will become independent. My view is that that is the direction of travel. But on the question of timing, for the last 12 months, I've been saying very clearly that I don't think it's right to consider that decision while things are so unclear and uncertain around Brexit. So, as First Minister, I won't give consideration to the timing until we've got some Brexit clarity. The message I was given to my party at our conference yesterday is that that gives us an opportunity not to worry all the time about when we might vote again on independence, but instead to engage in the substance of the arguments and to address people in Scotland who still ask why we should be independent. And I think that debate is timely because there's going to be change. Brexit makes that inevitable. Most people think Brexit will make the country poorer. So this is an opportunity to look at whether there's a better alternative for Scotland and focus on hope and optimism and how we maximise our potential as a country. So that's the opportunity I was encouraging my party to grasp when I spoke to them yesterday.
And finally, Tory grandee Ken Clark has dismissed the possibility of an early election as a result of the Brexit votes next week in typically robust fashion.
Nobody in the House of Commons wants a general election. Most Labour MPs are as terrified of the idea of a Corbyn government as I am. They want to get rid of Corbyn first. And anyway, I don't think the public would elect Corbyn, so nobody's going to an election. We now have a fixed Parliament Act, which makes it clear you don't have an election if you lose a vote. Sorry?
That didn't stop us having an election last year.
Well, that was called by the Prime Minister. I don't think she would call one at the moment. And if the Brexiteers were so perverse as to try to call one, I don't think they get one. They've got to get a large majority in Parliament to vote for having an election. The general public, people watching this programme, would be furious if we insisted on having another general election.
And that's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store, and you can get a great deal on the magazine with 12 issues for just £12 and a free limited edition Spectator moleskin notebook. Just visit spectator.co.uk/pod offer. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.